Hello, my friends. This is Dr. Beter in Washington. Today is April 27, 1979, and this is my audio letter number 45. This evening, the last in a 10-part special series of reports called Second to None was shown on ABC's World News Tonight program. For two entire weeks, the series has drummed away night after night about America's military weakness compared to Russia. Full-page newspaper ads have urged viewers to watch the series. So have various newspaper articles. And the series itself has carried so much impact that it has made an indelible impression on millions of Americans. Most of all, the 9-minute installment on April 17 describing the outbreak of nuclear war between Russia and America left many viewers badly shaken. The frightening picture painted in the ABC News series is accurate as far as it goes, but it also would have been accurate 3 to 4 years ago. We were not shown these things then, so the question is, why now? One reason that has been given is that we might be about to sign the SALT II Treaty with Russia, and that we ought to look before we leap. But if that were the real reason, a series like this should have been shown more than 18 months ago, because that is when SALT I expired and the air was full of promises of a new SALT treaty then. My friends, the people who put together the ABC documentary series did a very good job indeed. But the reason our Bolshevik rulers want it to be shown now is to help add to the atmosphere of war tensions. They also want to make sure that SALT II, if it is signed, will generate a storm of controversy and be defeated in the Senate. If that happens, it will be like closing the door to peace and telling the world that war with Russia is inevitable. In more and more ways, the atmosphere of mounting crisis and the threat of war is being stoked up by the Bolsheviks here in America. The low drumbeat of "Bring back the draft" keeps coming back over and over, a little louder each time. The specter of gas rationing keeps haunting the news as the artificial crisis in the Middle East heats up. For example, former Defense Secretary Melvin Laird now says the government should institute gas rationing just to make the crisis seem more real to people. Can you imagine? My friends, I realize that today, as in the past, many people are skeptical about what I have to reveal. After all, these things are probably contrary to what they have heard from friends, family, teachers, and the news media. They do not have my intelligence sources, and if I were to reveal these sources, they would dry up. But I believe that my duty is simply to reveal the truth, not cover it up just because it may be hard to accept. This month, events have been moving very fast in startling ways. 4 days ago, I said over the Ed Bush Show on WFAA Dallas, Texas, that the takeover here in the United States has already taken place. The people you will see on your television screens are not the people you think they are. Now I can say more. My three topics this month are topic number one, the domestic Guyana at Three Mile Island. Topic number two, the secret intelligence war of doubles. And topic number three, last call for a pilgrimage for peace. Topic number one. As dawn was breaking over Pennsylvania 30 days ago on March 28th, it looked like the beginning of just another ordinary day. It was a Wednesday, and there were jobs to go to, schools to attend, errands to run. The streets of Harrisburg, the capital city, were coming to life as people began their day's activities. East of the city, the rich farmlands of the Pennsylvania Dutch country were coming to life with the bloom of spring. For generations, the Pennsylvania Dutch have been famous for their life close to God and far from modern technology. But on that Wednesday morning of March 28, 1979, the Pennsylvania Dutch were completing their first year with a landmark of modern technology almost on their doorstep. It was the Three Mile Island Nuclear Power Plant, located in the Susquehanna River southeast of Harrisburg. In the first rays of morning light, the distinctive outlines of the nuclear plant gave no hint of the danger within it. The plant appeared quiet and peaceful, in fact, quieter than normal. Two of the four giant cooling towers, 37 stories high, had stopped belching steam. That meant one of the two nuclear reactors on the island had been shut down for some reason, and in fact, some residents near the power plant had been awakened in the pre-dawn hours by a thundering roar of escaping steam. But no one seemed to be really worried. A few minutes before 7 a.m., someone close to the plant might have detected the first clear signal that something ominous was happening. An emergency siren began to wail, telling workers to abandon immediately certain critical areas of the power plant. Several workers made a dash for their cars in an attempt to escape. Two cars raced out of the power plant site across the bridge to freedom. Then the gate was closed to make sure no one else could leave. A few minutes later, at 7:02 a.m., officials of Metropolitan Edison called the Dauphin County Civil Defense Authorities. A site emergency had just been declared at the nuclear power plant. By this time, Three Mile Island Plant No. 2 had already been in a state of growing crisis for more than 3 hours. And for nearly an hour, the computer designed to monitor conditions inside the reactor had been printing question marks instead of numbers. The reactor was overheating so badly that the computer system could no longer measure the temperatures. It had all begun shortly after 3 a.m. when trouble developed in a key water pump. Soon the pump failed, halting the flow of water to the steam-driven power turbine. Automatic devices immediately shut down the turbine in a situation known as a turbine trip. Superheated steam at enormous pressures was diverted from the turbine and vented to the outside, producing the thunderous roar that wakened nearby residents. At the same time, other automatic devices were shutting down the nuclear reactor itself in a so-called SCRAM, that is, a rapid emergency shutdown. Normally, when a nuclear reactor is started up or shut down, it is done gradually. This allows temperatures throughout the reactor to rise or fall gently, avoiding thermal stresses that might do damage. It also allows the startup or shutdown process to be monitored carefully at every step to make sure nothing unexpected happens. But on that Wednesday morning of March 28, there was no time for all that. With a pump failure and turbine trip, the nuclear reactor was left producing enormous quantities of heat that had no place to go. So the automatic control system scrammed the reactor. Within seconds, all the reactor's control rods were dropped into the core to make the fission chain reaction die away. But even with the rods in place, the hot reactor was still generating heat at a slower rate. So to cool it down, the automatic control system turned on three big standby pumps. Two were meant to flood the reactor core with cooling water, while the third had a related safety purpose. The three pumps roared to life, but nothing happened. There was no water for them to pump, because before the episode began, someone had turned off the valves ahead of the pumps. It was far more than a mere breach of regulations. Shutting those valves was an act that could not have been more expertly calculated to bring on a potential catastrophe. All three valves were closed, thereby defeating the redundancy which was built into the backup systems for safety purposes. It was an unthinkable thing to do. It threatened a power plant worth nearly $1 billion with possible destruction. It threatened untold thousands of lives. And if done by an employee, it even threatened the life whoever closed the valves. It was, in short, a kamikaze act of sabotage. But perhaps because it was so unthinkable, it worked. A number of workers have stated that they noticed the valves closed and tagged in the days just before March 28th. And everyone who worked in the vicinity of the valves knew very well how critical they were. So the tendency was to assume that there must be some good reason why they had been closed. After all, they even had tags to show that they were closed. It was an obvious and serious violation of safety procedures, but it seemed unthinkable that this could be unauthorized and deliberate. And so the valves remained closed. and no one did anything to correct the situation. In this way, the stage was set for Wednesday, March 28, 1979. As the reactor was scrammed, the backup pump screamed in vain, trying to draw water through valves that were closed. No fresh water went to the reactor to cool it. Pressures built up in the reactor, and a safety valve popped open. Superheated, radioactive water began flashing out of the reactor into the huge concrete containment dome, and the water level started dropping in the reactor itself. Then the valve stuck open instead of closing as it was supposed to do. Radioactive water kept right on gushing out of the reactor. Strangely, it was more than 2 hours before the control room button was pushed to stop radioactive water from escaping. My friends, all this was going on while neighbors of Three Mile Island were drifting back to sleep. They had been awakened by the brief roar of vented steam when the turbine tripped, but then all had quieted down again. All seemed peaceful and normal again around the nuclear power plant, but inside the control room of Three Mile Island number 2, klaxons were blaring, alarms were ringing, and trouble lights were flashing. The reactor was fast losing water and heating up rapidly. Soon the last-ditch emergency cooling system automatically turned on, but within a few minutes, one of the emergency pumps was shut off by person or persons unknown for unexplained reasons. 6 minutes later, the same was done to the other emergency cooling pump. Once again, redundant emergency systems had been thwarted by human intervention. Soon, there was a radioactive pool of water on the floor of the huge containment dome, where it had spilled out of the reactor. Sump pumps began sucking the water out of there into a nearby auxiliary building, which is not equipped to seal in radioactive materials. From there, radioactive materials soon began to filter outside to be carried downwind. Strangely enough, while pumps critical to safety were being turned off right and left, the one pump that should have been turned off, the sump pump, was left running. As a result, it was guaranteed that radiation from the reactor would find its way outside to contaminate the countryside. Within 20 minutes after the episode began, someone discovered that all the water to the reactor had been cut off and took corrective action. Cooling water began rushing into the reactor, and for a while the situation was under control. But within an hour, the unthinkable happened again. All four water pumps were quietly turned off again, and the reactor started heating up fast. Soon the monitoring computer began printing question marks. Thousands of small cylinders of uranium fuel in the reactor began coming apart at the seams with heat. Highly radioactive uranium and fission products bubbled out of the reactor with the still escaping water. At 7:02 a.m., the first call was placed to Civil Defense. By 7:20 a.m., Metropolitan Edison had to call Civil Defense officials again. Radiation levels in the containment dome were skyrocketing, and now the Three Mile Island situation had been upgraded to a general emergency. Yet to the public at large, there still was no word that anything was wrong at Three Mile Island. Thousands of commuters in Harrisburg drove to work without a hint on their car radios that anything unusual was taking place. Mothers hurried to get their children packed off to school on time. Farmers in the neighboring countryside set about their daily chores without giving the nuclear plant a second thought. Meanwhile, traces of radioactive uranium and fission products from the crippled reactor were already wafting downwind and beginning to contaminate the Pennsylvania landscape for miles around. It was not until 9:06 a.m., more than 5 hours after the episode began, that any public notice of the emergency was given. It was a brief report over the Associated Press newswire marked urgent to the effect that a general emergency was underway at Three Mile Island. From then on, Three Mile Island became like a domestic Guyana story, and in more ways than one. Like Guyana, it captured the headlines for a week and more. Like Guyana, it seemed unthinkable, and yet there it was, right before our eyes. Just as with Guyana, news stories about the events at Three Mile Island were marked by confusion. And in Pennsylvania, as in Guyana, large numbers of innocent American civilians were the victims. In Guyana, they were poisoned by means of potassium cyanide. In Pennsylvania, thousands have been poisoned by varying amounts of radioactive uranium and its fission products, such as xenon and krypton gases. Right now, doctors in the vicinity of the Three Mile Island are reporting many patients who are now exhibiting symptoms such as nausea, headaches, diarrhea, nervousness, insomnia, and eye trouble. Many doctors are not aware of it, but these are among the classic symptoms of low-level radiation poisoning. The government is telling a half-truth in saying that the contamination from Three Mile Island should not lead to an increase in cancer. The reason is that the particular elements released in the nuclear accident do not cause cancer, but other disorders. The word cancer, for that matter, has been turned into a medical scare word that hides more than it reveals. Cancer is a Latin word meaning crab. It is used to describe a certain kind of growth or tumor that grows with tentacles in various directions, giving it a crab-like appearance. What makes cancer so frightening is that it grows fast, consuming healthy tissue as it goes. So any tumor that grows rapidly is labeled as cancer, while tumors that remain stable or grow very slowly are usually called benign. In the 1920s, Dr. Otto Warburg earned the Nobel Prize for determining exactly what cancer really is. He was able to prove that the malady called cancer is just a condition of blocked cell oxidation. Today, more than 50 years later, we hear year in and year out about new ideas about what cancer might be. Meanwhile, Warburg's conclusive findings of long ago are ignored. Billions of dollars and millions of lives have been wasted over the years in efforts to figure out how to kill cancer when it occurs. The reality, my friends, is that cancer is itself the conversion of normal tissue into a kind of living death. True elimination of cancer can only be achieved not by agents of death, but by restoring life. In the area surrounding Three Mile Island, though, cancer is not the problem. Uranium and its derivatives can produce a fungus that leads to lumps and tumors, which often are misdiagnosed as cancer. If the fungus enters the bloodstream, it produces a disease known as cystic fibrosis. With this disease, the entire body undergoes weakening and gradual degeneration. It often strikes children and is usually considered fatal. The best protection against these disorders produced by radiation, as well as against cancer and other diseases, is to make sure your body cells are provided with the things they need to stay healthy. A key to this lies in four key minerals, which need to be in proper balance in your body at all times. The therapeutic value of these minerals was established by Dr. Wilhelm Schüssler of Basel, Switzerland, a century ago, and has been confirmed in countless ways since then. In order of importance, these four are potassium, calcium, magnesium, and sodium. It is best to obtain these four minerals in as non-toxic a form as possible. Ordinary table salt, for example, is sodium chloride, an inorganic poison to the cell. It has to be detoxified by the liver and companion organs of the body before assimilation. Likewise, many forms of potassium are toxic, even though potassium is vital to good health. So it is important to get these minerals in an organic form such as citrate, gluconate, or oyster shells. In the United States, proper supplements like these are especially important because most American food is badly demineralized. And this is most true of potassium, the most vital mineral of all. The episode at Three Mile Island blanketed hundreds of square miles and possibly a million people with low-level radiation. But the miracle is that it was not much worse than it was, for most of the radioactive materials released during the episode are still confined to the power plant site itself. The huge concrete containment dome around the reactor became so radioactive inside that no one could enter it without dying almost instantly. And the reactor itself was damaged so badly that today, 30 days later, the shutdown of the reactor is just reaching its final stages. The damage and contamination at Three Mile Island Plant No. 2 are so extreme that there are serious doubts as to whether it can ever be cleaned up and used again. Already there have been suggestions by some that it should be encased in a tomb of concrete and abandoned. My friend, that is an echo of the suggestion I made about the United States Bullion Depository at Fort Knox 3½ years ago in Audio Letter 5. The depository had been contaminated by a leaking radioactive CIA super poison, secretly stored there, and it remains contaminated to this day. Three Mile Island has proven that there are great potential hazards from nuclear power plants. But those proven hazards lie in the area of vulnerability to sabotage that can produce terrible consequences. The available evidence strongly indicates that the emergency at Three Mile Island was not an accident. It was a criminal act. Its effect is to help speed up the plan to shut down American freedoms by means of energy shortages, economic disruptions, and government controls. 5 months ago in Audio Letter 40, I revealed in detail how hundreds of American civilians had been deliberately sacrificed by the American government in Guyana and why. I warned then that the gruesome tragedy at Jonestown, Guyana, is only a pale shadow of what lies ahead for the entire United States if the cancer of Bolshevism is not stopped. And now a domestic Guyana has taken place at Three Mile Island. A completely unnatural sequence of events took place, causing a nuclear crisis to take place, which had never even been analyzed in official studies. Those responsible, the Bolsheviks among us, were hoping to achieve a full-fledged disaster at Three Mile Island with massive releases of radiation. This would have killed many people outright, sickened many more, and required a mass evacuation of several counties in the Harrisburg area. That would have accomplished two things. For one thing, it would have increased the general air of crisis, of emergency, and of a need for decisive federal action. But more importantly, it would have turned all nuclear power plants into objects of fear and hate by the American public. This would have justified an immediate shutdown of all 70 nuclear power plants across the United States. In one blow, America would have lost 13% of its electric power. The virtual rationing of electricity by various means would have followed quickly as one means of tightening governmental control over American life. But the Three Mile Island episode never quite reached the level of catastrophe, except in terms of damage to the power plant itself. And so the Bolshevik plan for now is to settle for half a loaf. Three Mile Island Plant No. 2 was built by a company named Babcock & Wilcox, which has also built 8 other nuclear plants, including the No. 1 plant on Three Mile Island. So the plan now is to blame that company in various ways and to shut down those 8 plants, as was ordered today by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. In the areas affected, the cutbacks in electric power will have the disruptive effects planned by the Bolsheviks. The Bolshevik scheme to rob America of part of its electric power by shutting down the nuclear plants is elaborate. In recent months, controversy over nuclear power has been stirred up to unprecedented levels. And in mid-March, two actions were taken to set the stage for Three Mile Island. First, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission abruptly shut down 5 plants in the Northeast, ostensibly over earthquake worries. Then the movie The China Syndrome was released. And, my friends, there is more to come. By means of Bolshevik coup d'etat and revolution, an international group who were once more powerful than the Rockefellers are making a new bid for power here in America. But the outcome, in the turbulent events now going on behind the scenes, is impossible to predict, because there is now a clandestine war going on involving not one, but several major intelligence agencies. The prize? Control of America.